5 years ago, Super 8 Database was launched. At that time, it had been in the works for 2 years, but was finally in the state where it could be made public. Why did we make it? How has the road to the current state been? And what can we expect in the future? Welcome to another episode of the Humming Projector podcast, where I today am joined by Greg Perry. Greg is a very good friend and has been my right hand from the start of the Super 8 Database project. I'm thrilled to finally have you here, and welcome to the podcast, Greg.
Thank you. I'm glad to join you on a podcast. I enjoy them, and it's been a great ride working on Super 8 Database with you.
And this is your first time here, and I really can't understand how that is, because we know each other real well, and I plan to have you here for a long time. But this is how it is. You're here for the first time, and I'm really, really glad to have you here. And we are going to talk about the Super 8 Database. But what is the Super 8 Database? I guess most of the listeners know, but we can just have a quick recap in case we have some new members here. It aims to be a one-stop shop for all info about Super 8. If someone needs to find info about Super 8, Super 8 Database should be the first place to look. That's what we aim for. And with the 5-year jubilee, I thought it was about time to talk about the database. The database was actually launched the 15th of February 2020, and I really can't believe it has been 5 years. I mean, in one sense, it feels like we just started this, Greg, but I know we have been doing this for a long time.
Yeah, for sure. It's gone quickly. I mean, the first 2 years, like you say, working on it behind the scenes and building it up and that. And the last, after it's been launched, the last years here have been going by very, very quickly.
Absolutely. I thought we could talk about the actual start of the project first, before it was launched. It all started 6.5 years ago, almost 7 years ago. And why did I even start this? The big reason for me was I saw a lot of repeated questions about the same films on forums and Facebook. People ask for covers. Do you have this cover? Can anybody send this cover to me? And info about films. It was spread around all around which films were made. Did a certain film exist in color or sound? Who released this? And things like that. And I thought by myself that seasoned collectors probably had answered this 1,000 times. And I was reluctant to ask the same questions because it was a lot of the same questions over and over. So I thought what we really should have had was information put together on a website more systematically. There were some sites in existence. I learned about them later, but I didn't know them either really well when I started. And one thing that is important to me to say is that I want to make that really clear. I didn't make this site because I knew a lot about films. I made it because I didn't know a lot about films, but I had different skills. I'm a programmer, professional programmer by trade. So I thought this is something I can actually do, and I perhaps was stupid enough to just start because it was an incredibly big project. But when I started to program this, I realized it will be a really time-consuming task, so I was lucky. I'm married to a programmer as well. Heidi, my wife is also a programmer, so she helped out to doing the front end of the programming so I can focus more on the content. And this is when you come into the picture. I decided I wanted to get a second opinion. Am I crazy? Is this something to will this be something? Will people actually like this? And I knew you from the Real Magic Forum. You had been there for a while. So I thought, Greg is the person I can tell this to and see what he thinks. When I talked to some other close friends, people said, you are just a dreamer. This will be, you have no idea how big of a project this is. And things like that. But when I contacted you, I'm talking a lot now, Greg. I'll let you talk again soon, but I want to read some of the email conversations we had. Do you remember that I actually had started out, the conversation started when I asked you about recording audio. We were discussing a Pedro box. Do you remember that?
Boy, just our first interaction via the forums and getting to know you. And We had other common interests beyond film, beekeeping and things like that. And, you know, we kind of started to develop a friendship. And when you shared your idea with me, I thought it was just a wonderful addition to the forums that are out there. And really, like you had mentioned before, sometimes questions would get asked on the forum about did Duran ever release this film, and sometimes you'd get the accurate answer, and other times you would get an answer, no, they didn't, and then somebody else would be like, well, sure they did, and it's like, you know, Super 8 database could help be a more definitive resource in terms of resolving those questions. And although I'm no longer in the field, I did used to work in programming, specifically in content management. And so I had a little bit of background that I thought I could contribute to the effort, not like programming, but more so just helping enter data from the catalogs and that. And so got involved doing that. And boy, once I started working with you and working with Super 8 database, it was almost like contagious or infectious, where it's like, wow, this is fun. I'm going to see how many, you know, see what I can do to help Ivan and Heidi and try to get as many films and things uploaded onto the database so that when it was launched, there would be, you know, a worthwhile amount for people to really look into and that. And I can't remember, maybe you remember, how many film titles did we launch with the first one in February of 2020? Was it 500 or was it 1,000?
When we released the 15th February, we had 2,500 films, and 1,000 of those had a cover.
All right, so that was a good amount to start with. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it was. I was actually surprised by that myself, because today we have 9,300 films and 3,100 with a cover. So it was actually quite a lot when we started out. And I was really fascinated about how quickly you were enthusiastic about this, because I'll read a few sentences from our conversation. I started out saying, we were talking about the Petra book, and then I said, I was starting talking about this project. I'm working hard these days on a new project. This is a secret for now, and only a couple of others know about it yet. I'm working to make a new webpage with a database of all films produced on Super 8 by the big distributors. It will be hosted on the super8database.com. I'm getting help from my wife doing the programming, as we are both developers, and the last 2-3 weeks we have put down quite a bit of work getting the technical parts up and running. We are nowhere near done with the programming, but the main functionality start to fall into place. And then I show you with some screenshots and the state of the project at that stage. And I finished off saying, please don't mention this to others yet. I'll wait to announce it until it's in a lot better state. And then you answered me 2 days later, first saying something about the Petrobox, my initial question, and then you followed up with, no to the most important topic, Super 8 database. All I can say is fantastic. What a great project, and how helpful a resource this will be, not only to collectors, but dealers and sellers as well. And if I can help you with your project with any type of testing or in any other small way, please let me know. So this, I really enjoyed reading this again, because you know nothing about my project up until then, and you didn't know me that well, and you instantly offered to help me out. Yeah. And I wonder if you really realized what you got yourself into.
I should have mentioned that part of the reason I was intrigued by it was the whole secret project aspect of it, the element of secrecy. And it's like, I know something that others don't. So that makes it fun too, because it was a nice surprise for many people when you finally launched it 5 years ago, that it's like, wow, that just came out of nowhere. People would perceive, even though it had been worked on for 2 years previously. But, you know, one thing that I personally thought was really, really interesting about Super 8 database was it was an effort to kind of a modern day effort, more or less, to add something back to the Super 8 community. We had forum groups. We have Doug Meltzer's 8mm forum. We have other forum groups that deal with 16mm. Now we have lots of Facebook groups. We've got Vidar's Real Magic Film Forum. But this was something completely different than a forum. And it was really a good opportunity to create something new for an old hobby that many people would say is kind of dying and withering. And I think, you know, it did predate Jed Jones' fantastic Duran Vaults Facebook group and that. And now since then, we've seen numerous other great Facebook groups that have been added that deal with film collecting and projectors. But Super 8 database was kind of something new, completely different from the forums that were in existence at that point.
Yeah, and it was a really important thing for me that this is for the community. I started the project, but I don't call it my project. I, for a long time, called it our project between you and me. And it's really a community project because we have had so much support. It would be impossible to make this without support from others. And it started out with Bert Hagsmann from the Super 8 Warehouse. I contacted him in January 2019 and I presented the project and asked him, I said I was being bold, but I asked him if he would be interested in letting me using his covers. He had spent a lot of time scanning those covers, so I mean, it was a really bold question. But he thought about it for a couple of days and he was really positive because he realized this could jumpstart me, of course. But if the project succeeded, he would also benefit from using covers from this database when he would sell films that didn't have a cover. So he can say, this is illustration only. It's a plain box, but this is the film. So without Bert, it would have been nothing. He sent me 1,500 covers or something. And soon after that, Keith Mockett from London also sent me almost as many films. And with that, actually, the site looked like something that could be something. I mean, that was why I kept it a secret as well, because I wanted to, when people learn to know it, it wouldn't just be a sketch, but something that actually looked like something. And we have had a lot of contributors since. I mean, Jan Andresen has contributed a lot. In the early phase, I got a lot from Burton Sundquist. Tony Lewis is always, in Australia, has always been supporting. And there are many more. So this is really a community project. And I really wanted to see people benefit from it, not just making a shiny new website, but something that could actually be used by people. And also perhaps being used for making other things later, because I want this to be owned by the community. So this is also why I made it with a Creative Commons license, so it will be actually available for everybody to use later. I mean, between you and me, we have a few films each, but it wouldn't have been much, would it? Adding just the info about the films we had.
Right, yeah, it continues to amaze me, all the different titles that are out there that one would never, ever have known existed, but have been added to the Super 8 database. So it's like, yeah, we each have our collections in that, but there are so many more films out there that people don't even know exist. And Super 8 database is a fun place to browse and kind of discover some of that stuff. And in my role in terms of adding content from various catalogs, it's been a lot of fun and interesting to see these titles that, you know, I might not ever see a copy of it and perhaps not even want to buy, but just knowing they're out there. And it's just many, many more titles than I think anyone who had any idea had been issued over decades of the Super 8 film production.
Yeah, a lot more. And you can see, if you see the list of distributors, we have passed 200 distributors by now. I really had no idea there were so many, and I'm sure there are a lot more than I have registered so far.
Yeah, true.
So that amazed me while working on it. And there were many that probably didn't have that many films, but released a few of those, and I wouldn't have known about it if people hadn't sent me covers and info about it.
Yeah.
So why have you been willing to spend so much time on this project, Greg? I mean, I started it and it's my pet project, but you have, I don't think people know how many hours you have spent on this project. It's a vast number of hours you have put down to this. Why have you bothered doing all this?
It's been a lot of fun. It's interesting. It gives me something to do. Improve my typing skills, my keyboarding skills greatly, from hunt and peck to actually... maybe 14, 15 words per minute, but no, just kidding. It's been a lot of fun, and I had some time at that point in my life, and it was a nice addition to have something to work on. So, and it, you know, started off and just kind of took a life of its own, and it's been just thriving and doing well for 5 years. I mean, you know, the big limitation on making Super 8 database everything that the vision that you've laid out for Super 8 database, kind of the big constraint is just available time to contribute to, you know, working on it. I mean, one of the things that's kind of a two-edged sword is there's tons of functions and rich features within Super 8 database, so much so that it's been difficult to keep up on all aspects of maintaining Super 8 database. And you can speak to this quite a bit from the technology side, but just in terms of editing content and correcting, making corrections, it's been one of those challenges that there's so many features or functions within Super 8 database that there just really isn't enough time to do justice to them all. So it's kind of, again, just kind of a two-edged sword. It's great to have all the features, but at the same time, it does create a little bit of a maintenance backlog that maybe we will continue to be challenged with. And that's kind of the nature of any application, as you can attest to from your background.
Yeah, and it has to be fun working with this. I mean, I realized if this was going to continue, I really needed to like working with it and not just liking the result. So it's, I say a lot of times, it's a marathon, not a sprint, and I have to build it brick by brick. And if time is short in my life and I don't have time to do it properly, I'll just back off a bit and do it later. Because if I get discouraged by my limited time, I will just stop doing this. So it needs to be fun doing this. That means it sometimes also takes a bit of time before I respond to people sending contributions. That's the one thing that I'm really not happy about at the current stage. I sometimes don't reply so quickly, but it's necessary for me to do it this way, because if I should continue doing this for the next 10, 20, 30 years, I have to think this is fun. So that's
I'd like to second that, because it's been important to me how you've always stressed that working on Super 8 database should be fun. And that's been helpful to me just to make sure I don't feel any, pressure or stress over wanting to, accomplish this or work on this or fix this or add another catalog. I do appreciate that you've always wanted to keep Super 8 database simply as a fun project, and it's not a work project. It's for fun, and it's for the benefit of the film community and the collecting community. And I think you've done a great job in terms of maintaining that attitude about the project. And I think that's one thing that has made it continue humming along for 5 years, because it is fun. And, we've kept it that way, and you've helped maintain that as the guiding, one of the guiding factors about it.
Yeah, it was never the aim of making a product that we could benefit from. I mean, we are not making money. I haven't received one single cent in this project. That's important for me to say. I have quite a few expenses hosting this service. This is expenses only. So it is about the community and having fun working for it, for sure. And the result is that we kind of have made an exhibit of all the covers on the database. I still enjoy I can't remember all the covers. We have 3,000 covers, so I still enjoy browsing through the database and looking through the covers. It still fascinates me looking at all those old covers on the database. And it's kind of a history preservation as well. I mean, for me, that's become more and more important, preserving the history before it's too late. There are so much info out there that is about to get lost. I mean, I can't say how much I appreciated the help from Jed Jones, especially telling me about releases, when I wonder how was this actually in the Adirondack, and he can actually say how it was, things that are never written any place. And now when he has made this first his Adirondacks at the Facebook group, and now his new page where things have been the info has been gathered, I will link to his page in the show notes, because I really, really encourage people to read about that, how actually working in the industry back in the day was. Preserving history like that, preserving background information, what was actually produced and things like that, has been increasingly important to me. And I must say, I was surprised when I was approached by the German researchers, Nicole Breida and Frauke Pirk, from Germany, when they asked if they could use the data for some student projects. That was really fun for me, because wanting to preserve data for the future and somebody actually noticed this and wants to do research on it, that was a really motivation boost for me.
And Ivan, I think that was really interesting, because it wasn't a fellow film collector. It was basically an educational resource that had discovered Super 8 database and wanted to look at it as part of media studies, I guess, in part. So it wasn't a fellow collector. It was actually academic. Academics saw the value in it as something that they could use to look into how Super 8 information was I guess preserved or retained, or I'm not exactly sure based on what they did why they selected that, Ivan. Maybe what intrigued them about Super 8 database that they wanted to bring it into their academic studies?
Well, as I understand it, one of the things that were fascinated by was that Super 8 had a part of film history that had never got attention from any professional history preservation entities. Like, there were big film archives for a lot of things, but for Super 8, it was nothing. And then started looking at this, and they quickly realized that the information that was preserved by private persons. So they started to look into that. And then they found my database. They also found the Super 8 Recensionen. I don't pronounce that correctly, but Andreas Chmielewski's incredible site. He has also been very kind to me and let me use his covers. There were other sources as well, many other sources than me, but they wanted to gather the collected information that had already been collected by private persons and do something about that. So I really enjoy that. I was invited to a conference in June 2023, the NECS conference, the European Network of Cinema and Media Studies, and it was actually hosted in Oslo in 2023, where I live in Norway, and they invited me to see their presentation of their project so far. So that was kind of surreal watching them mention my Super 8 database project on a big screen there by professionals, and I just me messing around in the evenings after work. So that was fun. And later recently, it was released a book doing digital film history. It was published by De Gruyter Oldenburg. And this is a very academic book. It's not a light reading for sure, but I really enjoyed looking at the topics. I will read more about that later. But they also, the same German scientists, they were mentioning my project there as well. So it's been good in a way to see that we perhaps are at the right track, put it that way, preserving history in a way that it can be used to something. That's been nice to me. Super 8 database is not the only thing going on in the community these days, and I really love to see everything that's been going on. You and I talked about this recently. Maybe you can mention a few other things that has been going on in the Super 8 community lately.
Yeah, I'll say it's kind of a mini resurgence of activity. I mean, look towards like Joachim Schmidt's off to a YouTube series. It's been really fascinating. We've got the Humming Projector podcast. We've got Jed Jones's newest WordPress website, which you spent many, many hours recovering the content that had been lost by Facebook of Jed Jones's very, very fascinating and very helpful Duran vaults. And so essentially you've been a one-man show in reconstructing that. And I think that's another example of, you know, keeping things moving forward and keeping the hobby alive.
Yeah, and we have Andek still producing films, and Lee Mannering is not stopping. It looks like he's still continuing doing his part of the hobby, producing new material. And we have seen new books from Mark Williams, among others.
We've got Ruben Torreon in, I think, Spain, who is doing some really interesting things in terms of creating new titles as well. I believe there's another gentleman in Italy, Mikel, who is also working on creating some Super 8 films using a different process than Andek. And, of course, we have Steve Osborne, who continues to support the hobby. Yeah, I mean, the good old days may be gone, but we're still hanging in there. Things are still moving forward. New titles are available. Yeah, and like you say, Ivan, a lot more focus is in the hobby and its collectors and preserving the history via interviews.
And we have Vanek that has been producing new 3D printed parts for projectors. That's super important. So I really like to see things going on. And this is just a little small part of that. But hopefully it can be mean something to people around us. So what will happen in the future? A few years ago, we added projectors. That was based on the work from Carlos Pradera Jordana from Spain. He had the Super 8 data site with all the projectors. He had a couple left license on his material, so we have added this to the database and improved on that. So for the future, you can expect to find cameras as well. I had hoped to have this launched by the five-year jubilee. We didn't make that in time. We were working on it, so cameras will arrive on Super 8 database. Other more boring part, I need to rebuild the front end of the site that nobody will notice has been done, but that's kind of work that needs to be done.
Ivan, that's the life of a programmer. A lot of your work is hidden behind the scenes, and it doesn't show up on Super 8 database as a pretty cover. It shows up as functionality that keeps the site working and maintains currency with technological changes. And where software updates and other things, new releases need to be implemented. And that is unfortunately one of the things that none of the users of Super 8 database have any visibility to. So again, just a thank you on behalf of all the users for keeping things going behind the scenes, because that's very important.
Well, thank you. I work with, as a programmer in my day job as well, as you know, and I used to say most people don't see what I do until it stops working, and then everybody notices that what I made don't work. So that's the life of a programmer.
And then people are saying, where's Ivan? Get him over here. Where's Ivan?
And we have added a lot more catalogs, and we will continue adding catalogs. That I find that really important, because that's actually the most firm sources we have for what has been produced. And of course, we will continue adding more content. But for me, adding the cameras and the projectors are very important, because that shows my goal of making this a one-stop shop for Super 8, where you can find everything you need to know about Super 8. So I will give that a focus in the weeks to come. But I wonder what the listeners would like to see. So if you have something you really wanted to see in the database and you haven't seen any of that yet, please let us know in the feedback so we can consider adding that. I guess there are many good ideas that could get into something real. And for the future, Greg, we will never be finished. I mean, there are always another film around the corner. So this is a lifelong project. I remember when I launched it, one of the first comments I got on the forum was, "This film is not in your database." He was correct. Yeah. It wasn't in my database. So we will continue for the rest of our lives. But that's the way when you try to document something. When you look at an encyclopedia, we will always find something that's not covered. So sure. That's how it is.
Yeah, it's probably helpful to have just an open end to the whole project, where it's just like, hey, it's just going to keep going, and we'll keep working on it, and many others contribute as they can from month to month. It's a great thing that people that use Super 8 database are able to contribute to it in that way as well.
Yeah. And I look forward to work on this with you as well. We have become very close friends, and I really have enjoyed that, and I really look forward to working you in the years to come.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, and it's been a lot of fun, and I think it's a cool thing to work on, and I do think a lot of people, you know, find it useful, and like you say, beyond the use, it's preserving the history, which is an important thing to do.
If you enjoyed this episode and want to follow us, you can listen to us and subscribe to our podcast using players like Pocket Casts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and YouTube. You can also use any podcast player supporting RSS. Go to our website, hemmingprojector.com, to learn how to subscribe. You can also listen to any current and previous episodes on our website without any additional software. If you have any feedback for this episode or a suggestion for a future episode, please send an email to feedback@hummingprojector.com. We have a couple of quick reminders from the community before we wrap up. The Blackpool Film Collectors Convention will be held Friday the 14th to the 16th of November 2025. For more information about the Blackpool Convention, you can go to blackpoolfilmconvention.co.uk. And Cinesy, that is held in New Jersey in the US, will be held Thursday, April 3rd to Sunday, April 6th, 2025. And for more information about Cinesy, you can go to cinesyfilm.com. And with that, we have reached the end of this episode. It was great to finally have you here in the podcast, Greg, and I hope to see you again soon. My name is Eivind Mork, and thanks for listening.